and welcome to Troy and Tara Watch.
Yay!
Yay!
Tara.
Hey, I'm Troy. So
I don't think we've ever once actually said that.
Well, I hope people would figure out.
I mean, maybe. You never know.
I mean, I always say hi, Tara.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's the...
I think it's pretty clear. But still.
Still. So, we have come back around to October again, and I know we didn't quite put out anything.
But we're past October. We're in November now.
I know. We're like mid-November. Yeah. But we are now into our second year. This will now be starting our third year.
Of the two of us, or when you started?
No, the two of us. Nice. Yeah. So we started, which is very fitting. We started with Midnight Mass. And
was that the first one?
Yeah.
We
that was our very first episode.
That's wild.
I know.
It's also wild that was 2 years ago.
Yeah. Hmm. So, because then after that was
Midnight Club.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, that's how I can tell time now.
My planning is how we tell time from the pandemic on.
Yeah.
Tell years by Mike Flanagan. Tell at least October's by Mike Flanagan.
Exactly.
This was a very fall of the House of Usher.
Yeah. As you can basically tell by the title of the episode, we'll be talking about the fall of the House of Usher on Netflix.
Which I have been excited about for a literal year.
Yes. Mostly because now we've been following Mike Flanagan for his
shows,
and he's just a really great director, and he's just kind of proven himself time after time, and pretty much now anytime October rolls around, he seems to be pumping out something.
Yeah, we know we're gonna be watching whatever he has put out. That's gonna be our October show.
Yeah. And again, I really like that. Well, he's just really good at completing the beginning and end.
Yeah,
you don't have to have two, you know, seasons and then try to keep dragging on a story or anything like that. So
the story is complete in one season.
Yeah.
And it's great.
Now you might not be familiar with Mike Flanagan. He has directed a lot of Netflix horror things.
Shows.
So The Haunting of Hill House, Haunting of Bly Manor, Midnight Mass, Midnight Club, and
our dog just fell off the couch. Sorry. Are you okay, Willow? You okay, puppy? Yeah, you look fine. Just startled.
You're fine.
You want to come back up here? No, you can lay down. You can go.
Okay.
I know the cat's on your bed. This is
Anyways,
our house. This is our life.
Yeah, sorry. Well, you got a little bit
this
creepy.
This glimpse into our pet lives.
But
that has me wondering if this year is Fall of the House of Usher. Was next year going to be a different Fall of the House of? Because there's a Haunting of Bly Manor, Haunting of Hill House, Haunting of Bly Manor, Midnight Mass, Midnight Club, Fall of the House of Usher. I don't know if the name themes are accidental or just like coincidental, or not like it's going to be based on anything, but just like the name would overlap.
A lot of the previous things were, I feel like, adaptations that one already existed. You had the Haunted Hill House, and then he did kind of an own thing, Bly Manor. So in a similar vein, and honestly, like when you watch those two back to back, you can see a lot of the similarities between the two.
I mean, they all have haunting tropes.
Hauntings, and then the Midnight Mass and Midnight Club are very different in what they are presenting to
you. I'm not talking about themes. I'm just talking about like names. The name, the name seemed to pair, but it's only been two examples. Yeah. So
I guess we'll find out.
Yeah.
So let's go ahead and start off with what is the Fall of House of Usher. Mm-hmm. It is a 8-episode series on Netflix.
Yes.
And it is directed by Mike Flanagan, and it is the work of Edgar Allan Poe.
Yes, based off of several Edgar Allan Poe stories, and I love Edgar Allan Poe, and I've read all but one of these stories, and it made me pull out my book, and I realized how many there are, and I've only read the big ones, I feel like, and I was I could read way more of these. I'll probably be doing that now. And I don't, there's only one I didn't know that was in this, and I was surprised by.
Yeah. That was when we first heard about it. We were thinking, it's just going to be on the, just about the Pala Palace of Usher. And then it slowly came out as like, well, that is the main overall arching story. That's like the vehicle in which things are being transported. But in that vehicle, you have other works of Edgar Allan Poe, like The Raven.
The classics. The
Mask of Red Death.
Mask of Red Death. Pit and the Pendulum.
And the Black Cat.
The Black Cat. The Telltale Heart.
Yeah.
My favorite, Cask of Amontillado, which I probably already said. I know, but it's my favorite, though. It's just my favorite.
But it is, honestly, so when we found out about that, and knowing the work that Mike Flanagan does, we knew it was in really great hands, so we're just like, all right, cool, we're gonna watch this, and I don't think I'm gonna have any notes on this.
And I didn't have any notes.
He was using all the same actors that he does in a lot of his series, so if you've seen one of his things, you might recognize
most of these people. Not all of them, though, some people drop out, and then, both the girl, the younger and older version of Madeline, were new. Neither of them had been in anything. Meg Flanagan, at least. I don't know about the movies, though, so maybe they had been in the movies. I don't know. So we've only seen one or two of his movies. Like, we haven't seen Hush or the other ones.
So, speaking of the cast, speaking of the cast, let's go ahead and go over that. So, this is on IMDb, by the way, so we are kind of going in that sort of order. There's no favorites, but we will say, hey, that, props to, certain people. Honestly, a lot of the top build cast, we don't even need to say that, because they are honestly,
basically,
I think
everyone did a good job. I don't there know wasn't anyone that was better than
there wasn't a single person I felt like was
subpar
or anything.
They were
like
all
that.
Good. Everyone was equally great.
Exactly. So top build, we have Carla Gugino
Gugino.
I apologize. It's Gugino. Who plays Verna. Is really great. Bruce Greenwood plays Roderick Usher. Mary McDonnell plays Madeline Usher. Henry Thomas plays Frederick Usher, so his eldest child.
Yeah.
Raul Cooley plays Leo Usher, one of his other children. Samantha Soloyan, who plays Tamerlan.
These names are so good, the way.
Yeah, all these are like pretty much his kids, starting from Henry Thomas. Tania Miller is Victorine. Zach Guilford, who, again, I've really enjoyed everything that I see him
in. I think, all of the ones of these.
Yeah, he plays young Roderick. Willa Fitzgerald also plays young Madeline. Michael Trucco plays Rufus Griswold.
I don't remember who that is.
Trying to remember, and I can't pace it off my things.
Sorry about that. The boss. He's the boss.
Okay, yeah. Gotcha. Okay, and then Katie Parker is Annabelle Lee. We have Matt Biddle, who's Bill T, or William Wilson.
insane name.
Crystal Balint was Morella Usher, who is the mother of Roderick.
That's Frederick's wife and Lenore's mom. That's Lenore's mom.
I apologize, I got that wrong. And that's why I have you here too. Ruth Codd, who played Juno,
the second wife,
really like probably fifth. His current wife, also, again, shout outs to her. She knocks out of the park in a lot of her roles.
She's really
too.
Good. Yeah, in all the Mike Flanagan things, she's really good.
Kaylee Curran was Lenore. Carl Lumby played Augustine DuPont.
DuPont.
Mark Hamill was Arthur Pym. Kate Siegel was Camille.
Another daughter.
Sirian Sapkota was Perry Usher.
The last son.
And just kind of finish up the last two here. Paola Nunez was Alessandra Ruiz.
One of the other spouses.
Yeah, she was a spouse of one of the children. And Malcolm Goodwin, who played young Dupont, was also just an amazing amazing role. Really, really enjoyed that. So I know that was just a huge list of people,
and they're all critical, except for a couple that maybe weren't, that just stuck in there above the critical ones, so we just like left them.
A lot of those were the main ones.
The main cast. That's a lot of main cast, but they're main in each, most of them get one episode.
Well, okay, and again, that's what I did like about this structure, was that it was shining a spotlight on each person. Mm-hmm. You knew that each episode was going to be ending in someone's
dying.
Death.
Yeah, they had a very clear structure.
Yeah.
That you got from episode two on. Mm-hmm.
And we'll get into another thing that I liked about that too a little bit later on. But we come down to our opinion, and which was amazing.
I loved every second of it. And I love Edgar Allan Poe, and I love all these stories, and I loved how they were woven together. Yeah. It worked really well, specifically with the fall of the House of Usher, which is about like the last two members of this family crumbling and falling apart in their house that's literally crumbling and falling apart. Mm-hmm. And this was just like a perfect fall from grace, but it was like before it was the last two. It was like from the beginning, their collapse. And I love, if you need to feel vindication for the fall of a pharmaceutical family, like a uber rich, like for destroying other people, like this is the show for you. Yeah. It's so satisfying. And you don't feel bad for literally anybody.
No, in fact, what the great thing about it is...
That's not true. There are people you feel bad for. Well, that's not true.
Yeah.
You feel bad for several people.
The thing is that the antagonists in this are all people who are good in the real life in this, you know, series, like, you know, DuPont.
Yeah, yeah. People who are actually trying to do good are the enemy.
Yeah, and is named after a rival of Edgar Allan Poe. We'll get into the little trivia things here in a little bit, but those are, like, again, when you had Mike Flanagan handling this, you already knew that it was going to be in amazing hands. It was going to have
everything,
great chemistry.
If it has a name, it has a meaning. There's no one that's arbitrarily named anything.
Yeah. No, everything has a meaning. It has a deep...
because there's so much Poe lore. There's so much to dig into. It would be dumb to not use it for everything.
Yeah, and you just focused on one thing and that was it. And it wouldn't be that fun.
The names, they're just seamless. They just go with everything. Mm-hmm. And it just flows really well. And it's not, doesn't seem forced at all. Except for maybe the poetry. But that's just how I always feel about poetry. Literally all the time.
Even though that each episode did have a line of poetry in there. It was, again, delivered in a way where you're just like, I'm very encapsulated, and you're giving substance
and
to what I am
seeing. It wasn't
seeing.
Just like, hi, I'm breaking out into a poem. Yeah. It's like part of it.
It's literally just like, here is the scene that you are supposed to be invoking in your mind when you're reading this poetry, which is, for us, we're just like,
I'm terrible at poetry. So even though, like, I love Edgar Allan Poe and he wrote a lot of poems, I've only read two, which are The Raven and Annabelle Lee.
Yeah.
The rest of the things I've read are short stories because I'm just, like, terrible at poetry. But now I have to read The City and the Sea because that was fully in there. But those are the only three poems I used. But yeah, I know I'm getting into whole things.
So yeah, so it was
track.
Yeah, no, it's okay.
But it's amazing. I love it so much.
Yeah, the opinion was.
I clearly
recommend
it. Yeah.
Watch it. As far as any like things to worry about, there are some jump scares. There are some things that can be
really hard
to watch if you've
gory.
Had people who have
this
had.
This is a trigger warning. It's super gory.
Yeah.
There's a piece
of relationship. Well, again, gore can be subjective to everyone. A lot of what you do see as far as the very disgusting bits is usually something that you know is going to be coming up.
Very clearly coming.
You can prepare yourself.
And it's not usually like a super long moment. It's worse early on and gets easier later.
And a lot of the balance that Mike Flanagan does is, you know, he can ramp up pace very quickly by jump scares, and they don't feel like cheap jump scares at all.
No.
They're done incredibly well in this.
In like clear and make sense and like are woven into the plot without just being like, I guess we're gonna be standing in front of a mirror and we're scared because we're in front of a mirror. Like it's like a legit
Or like, you know, can't return and then suddenly you see somebody it's done just really well. Mm. And then again, just the existential dread that you see in certain characters and the experiences that they go through and just
It's a story of madness. It's of losing your mind, slowly. Yeah.
Abusive relationships and things that, again, can be hard to watch if you've gone through those things yourself.
Yeah. But
ultimately, this is a really great story.
It's really satisfying.
Done incredibly well by everyone.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think you're going to regret watching it. So
it'll be great.
Definitely a good October watch.
I didn't even know it's November. It's honestly this whole season. The season is dying in death. Like, we're going into winter. All the plants are going to die. The death media continues until the spring comes back.
Well, we can get into some spoilers here, too, as far as the
spoiler plot.
Yeah, I mean, go watch it. Come back if you haven't done that already. Because there's a lot of things that we're going to talk about. And that starts now. So,
yay! Spoilers as of this moment.
As of this moment. So, ultimately you see the arch of this whole story from back when, you know, it starts, and I do love the time jumping. Luckily it's done in a it's done in a reasonable manner.
It's good. It's not too much. It's like the right amount of flashbacks.
Yeah, and the main villain, I would say,
Verna,
which is an anagram for the Raven, or Raven.
Yeah.
And is just portrayed so well in the, like, you're making a deal with the devil, and clearly I'm the devil, and if you can't see that because you think you can't, you know, you don't believe in superstition, like, okay, fine then, but...
Or even something else. It could be something older than the devil. Like, it's just, like, some other being that is, like, fucking around with people. Mm-hmm. Like... And, like, in our culture, that's the devil, but in other cultures, it's, like, djinn, or, and it could, whatever this being is, like, here to fuck with humans, and, like, prey on your worst impulses.
Yeah, again, as in a raven, very trickster.
Trickstery, yeah. Like, it, and, like, coyote in, like, North American, like, there's one everywhere, like, of, like, a trickster god, Loki, who's just, like, fucking with all your shit. So, like, whatever that is who this person is, and it's so good. Like, she's so good, her separation of herself, like, I've watched humans for so long, her separation of her own being is so, and she's so good.
And not only each time she's interacting with each of the family members, and you see the warnings that she gives, and obviously the very, very much the follies that each person goes through, because they just are them. Yeah. They are their own selves.
And she's not even, like... Like, I don't know but, how much, too much spoiler well, we want well,
no,
to go to.
No. It's like, literally, like, you see, because she almost takes, like, that satisfaction, like, okay, cool, I'm okay with killing you because you are an idiot.
You're
but
so
all
dumb.
Of the people that did, that got hurt, who were innocent, she absolutely hated that.
Yeah.
And gave warning to the wife.
Yeah, she's just like get out of here. Like, doesn't want to hurt innocent people. She's preying on the villainous people.
Yeah.
So, like,
that's what makes this so much better, is because you do see, like, the ultimate, like, the trickster who is trying to trick the bad people, but ultimately still has to, you know, do the things that they don't want to do because of those actions. And it's bad.
It's more like just giving people, which other than Lenore, giving people a choice. Like, the people in the club, she just whispered to them to leave, and they did.
Yeah,
she just said, you should leave now. Like, you gotta go. And they did, because they were not part of this party. But also, she was the reason. She was the devil that gave them everything they wanted. So all the people who died, like, via drugs that she blamed on them, was also on her, because she gave that to them.
Well,
so, and she knows that. Like,
well, the thing that I noticed too is that, like, all the staff members, like, kind of went into zombie mode
and
then
just
left.
Yeah,
she could have done the same thing to her too, but
she
did,
gave her
free will,
she
because she knew exactly what was going to happen.
Yeah,
and at the end of it, the ultimate good cause, and that's what she talked about with Lenore, and at the end of just like, I hate having to do this, but here is the one thing that you can take to peace is that your mom is going to continue. Doing amazing things.
Yeah.
Even though she has had...
Because she wasn't the blood of the Ushers. She married
exactly.
the family. But all the other... I think Raul, Leo, his character name, his partner, just kind of, like, veered off and went away. Like, nothing bad happened to him.
No, I think,
And Bill also just kind of left.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think. All the other spouses just kind of
Yeah, they well, except for Juno, who got all of the money and decided to go ahead and help people recover from Ligadome.
Yeah. Oh, God, so, that was so good. Again, he did such a good job.
That's why I really do like his stories, because they do have really good, solid endings. Yeah. And there is actually light at the end of the tunnel, even though you're going through, like, really, like, depressing shit at the same time, too. You know, and how you can relate to that, you know, insecurities in relationships.
It's really, or... like, they're very human tales for being so fantastical. Mm-hmm. Like, even, like, the Midnight Club, where it's, like, kids dying from cancer. Like, it's really sad. Or kids dying from whatever they're dying from. Like, it's sad. Yeah. And it's, like, how to find levity in this very real sad human situation. And this is, like, all this rich family that you don't you can't relate to, like, at all. Mm-hmm. And they're, like, a downfall. And then the people you do relate to, which is, like, the second wife who's, like, addicted to this drug. And, like, and the daughter, the granddaughter.
The destructive path of the all people these that people. Don't
yeah,
care.
Exactly. Annabelle Lee. Poor Annabelle Lee.
And so, yeah, this is why this was done so well, and all the characters were just given enough time to really develop caring for them in their own very particular ways too. Mm-hmm. And you understand why they had those emotions and why they went through it, but then you start getting into, I mean, again, this is so great when you see something, you're just like, I want to know so much more, and I want to, like, all the things that I didn't see, you know, what were those? And that's when we get into the trivia.
Yeah, like the thing that I missed, which was the gold bug, because it's the only one I did. I was like, I don't know what this is. It's obviously referenced something, because it's so specific. Gold bug? Like, come on, that's gotta be something. But I didn't know what it was. And it's one, like, in my little, literally, collection of literally everything Edgar Allan Poe, including his childhood poems.
Interesting.
It's the second story in here.
So, with the kind of outline of each episode, they are named after Edgar Allan Poe poems. So, and also this relates to each character's name as well too.
Yeah, the character names are all from things.
You know, Annabelle Lee and Lenore, and
are the obvious ones.
Yeah, all those big ones. Prospero from Mask of Red Death. Fortunato is a reference to a character in The Cask of Amontillado.
Poor Fortunato.
Yeah, it is really...
The Rue Morgue, the name of the hospital is Rue Morgue.
Yeah, Arthur Pym.
Arthur Pym is the only novel that he ever wrote.
Mm-hmm.
Which I also haven't read, because I've heard it's not great.
It says, the recurring characters, John Rufus Griswold, William Longfellow, and John Neal are named for three of Poe's fiercest critics. Fittingly, they all played antagonistic roles here.
Mm-hmm.
But this was, let's see here, some of the other ones. Adapts, sorry. One thing I did like here is that within the actors and things like that too, is that you have Bruce Greenwood, who was the older
Roderick,
Roderick, and he has voiced Batman in a few DC movies.
Mm-hmm.
Along with him, you have co-stars Mark Hamill and Raul Cooley, who voiced Batman enemies Joker and Scarecrow.
Yeah,
so I do like a little bit of those types of people are interacting. One of the episodes we noticed this really quick was that they're scrolling through Netflix and they highlight Gerald's Game.
Yeah, they literally showed a Mike Flanagan movie in Gerald, which was so funny to me. I loved it.
Which, by the way, if you haven't seen that, another great one.
And also,
Gerald and
Verna is his wife. Oh my
and
god.
Again,
and it's really good and really scary.
Yeah, Carla Gugino. So yeah, they're again great actors. So when Mike Flanagan has worked with these characters or worked with these actors before, he knows, like, okay, I know what you're capable of and how I can really highlight you, even if I have just, like, a short amount of time to do that.
So good. Oh, everything about this was good. If you love Edgar Allan Poe, you'll love it. If you like horror things, you'll love it. And also, you should like Edgar Allan Poe if you like horror things and don't. I just love it.
Yeah. It is
I'm trying to think of anything else super, like, and it's just, I just like the modern update takes on them. Like, so if we're talking about, like, the Mask of Red Death, which is the King Prospero, there's a play going on, and he locks him and, like, 100 people in his castle, and they just party all the time while everyone else dies around them, and the Death comes in and kills them all, room by room, and, like, each room's a different color, and he throws a party at an old chemical facility, and then everyone gets melted by this guy. He's like, we're gonna have water come down, and of course it's an old building, so it's not connected to the sewer anymore. And he's like, well, all these buildings have
I do love how
water things,
like,
and then they just build it up. You know that's what's gonna happen from almost, like, early on, like maybe halfway through you figure out almost like what's gonna happen, and you just see it happening. You're like, oh no, there's the next step to that happening. There's the next step to that happening. And you just, the domino. And it's like that for almost all of them, where you just like, but it's still like, oh my God.
The continued
watching
downfall.
The downfall.
Like the
Black Cat one was.
Like, we already knew that, like, when you have to go and replace another cat and think that it's going to be the same cat.
It's
like,
not going to be the same cat.
Fool.
Yeah, what's wrong with you? Just unhinged shit.
And clearly that was the case.
I also love the Raven Verna just. Where she's like, I don't normally intervene this directly, and it's because she doesn't normally let yourself fucking go on your own downfall. Like, I know you have to die. This is how it's happening. You're gonna make it happen. But this one, she's like, I'm gonna actually interfere here because of the teeth thing. It's so good. Oh, I'm sorry, Willow. The tiger tapped you and you're scared. You're fine.
They definitely went into how much they fucked themselves over and just like, okay, great. And I love the deal that Verna did with Roderick and Madeline of just, okay, cool. You know, you could continue on your lives and, you know, be, you know, great and all your kids suffer or all these other things. And just, like, being that clear cut, like...
Like, this is a deal you're making. Yeah. And then pretending like, didn't happen.
They'll be well off forever until it's time.
And, yeah, do you want them to live... normal lives and not suffer, or live extravagant, amazing lives and then die
for this short time that they have on this earth.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, it's so good.
This is where it does get again some interesting kind of things that you can notice later on is that the courtroom scene where the family is all sitting together foreshadows the order in which the children die from right to left. So that, again, another great one. That they are doing, and another callback to Mike Flanagan's work was that the mask that Jenny wears during the masquerade scene, she is the mother, by the way, of Lenore.
Oh, that's Lenore's mom. Okay.
The mask is modeled after the killer in Hush, which is also directed by Mike Flanagan. So. Again, a lot of previous people who have worked with Mike Flanagan just show up in this and are just kind of you know, if you recognize this person, it's because you've probably seen him in these other things. So
like Mike Flanagan.
So I think that kind of wraps up a little bit of
feeling very wrapped.
All the things that we wanted to cover with that, and. I'm really glad that we got to watch it. I am really hopeful for next year in October we get another Mike Flanagan thing to talk about.
I know. I feel like we definitely did this every year, because we definitely did it for Midnight Club as well.
Oh, yeah, we did.
So good. I just love it.
But I agree with being able to watch a thing every year from this person has been really great, and I think that he's going to be going back to adopting a Stephen King Dark Tower.
Oh, that's right.
So he has been given the green light to give that adaptation. So that is another thing that we'll be looking forward to.
Which is good, because I'm never going to read those fucking Dark Tower books. There's too many of them.
Yeah,
I'm not going to read those.
Yeah. In our next episode, we'll go ahead and be talking about Our Flag Means Death. We're about halfway through the second season right now. And obviously it's going really great. And I think we'll probably watch a movie as well too, to go ahead and discuss and catch up on. But for now, thank you so much for listening to our podcast.
Yeah, we're back after a month. we're really not consistent.
No, again, it's
we could
fine.
Never make this a job. It's
okay. No, again, thank everyone for listening.
Fun side project for us, and I love doing it. I like talking with you about movies and stuff. It's really fun.
Yeah, and I like seeing all the analytics of people saying, yeah, they're watching it. And so again, thank you so much. Share, like, and continue listening to Try and Tear Watch.
Yay!
Bye!